Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
Welcome to this episode of the Outsiders Podcast. If you're not following us yet, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, we're out there. Probably saying something that gets us in trouble. Want to support the show? Head to OutsidersStudios.com. You'll find membership options, merch, and more ways to stay connected to what we're building. Elect Exiles, Brett's podcast, Solid Theology, Clear Thinking, and Worth Your Time. Brandon's Substack drops twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. It's where he works out what doesn't always fit in an episode. We've got a lot in the pipeline. Stay tuned. And as always, thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. We've retired the to my left, apparently. I guess I could keep going.
No, we haven't.
You could.
This is weird now. We have a new setup. Shoot it down in the comments if you like it. I like it. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you don't like it. Yeah. It's better for us.
And everybody engaging with us on comments from what I hear. Thank you for engaging with us.
Appreciate it.
Good and bad. We'll take it. We want to talk to you. I guess to my left.
Brett Welty and Star Pattern to my this way. I thought about
it. Wait.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tighten the lug nuts right now?
I am. Star Pattern.
Wait, hold on.
Are we tightening a drum head?
I'm lost.
Ding. So ding.
Just kidding. To my left is Andrew. Oh. Okay.
Could be
wait, no, I just had to say to my left. You say your own name. To my left. Already established.
To my left is now a polo guy.
What's the polo guy now?
I'm Andrew McKinley, and to my that way.
Bryce Armstrong, to my left.
Jim Cole.
We have made a half circle. Great job.
The only thing that's changed is Andrew is now saying to the front.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to the left. That's the only thing that's changed.
Oh, it's just different.
And the order.
Yeah. We know how people operate with change.
They love it, typically.
Yeah.
And they love
change.
Like
to do it.
I do, too.
I love it.
I handle it as if ADHD is like a form of autism.
I think you just have both.
I know. That means I'm not handling it.
I can't do this.
He was here when we moved this, so he's fine.
I drilled one of these holes.
He's had 2 weeks to prepare for this.
I could have a year to prepare, or 2 weeks, or 30 seconds.
All right.
Same level of preparedness.
Well, yeah. So yeah, here we are. Hey, Andrew.
Yo.
Give me something.
Okay. So.
Just Brandon.
Just Brandon, me. Not the rest of you. Yeah. We're going to do a little bit of get to know us tonight.
Oh, I like that. Mm.
So.
That's going to be depressing.
I don't know if yours might be. Just kidding. No.
I've had a terrible life.
So I was just thinking about being salty. Oh, and then Bryce.
I need the table.
Kicked the table.
I'm so sorry.
Boing. And then everyone. But yeah, so we're going to talk about being salty. So I thought salty, savory. Let's talk about our last meals.
Oh, interesting.
And let's go into a little bit of detail.
The one we want or the one we just had?
The one we want.
Good call.
Oh.
So we're talking about.
All right.
I want a main dish, possibly two if you're going for it. Three sides at least. Yeah.
Three?
It's your last meal, Bryce.
Wow.
You don't have to finish it.
You can have a bite of like 12 things if you want. If you want to, I'm not limiting you. I'm just giving you a minimum.
Okay.
A main, three sides, two drinks, and a dessert. I want to know, what do you have playing for music or what are you watching? This is the whole experience, all right?
Are we like...
Are we on death row?
I was going to say, like, did I get arrested?
Yes.
What did I do?
Can we do it one course at a time so we don't have to come up with all
that
at once?
That's kind of what I'm thinking is, yeah, that we're going to round it over and over again. Yeah. So let's start with Brandon.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to start with appetizers. And we're going to start with Brandon.
All right. My appetizer, basic white girl, mozzarella cheese sticks.
I respect it.
Yep. Classic.
Yep.
All right, come this way.
Oh, so to me, I'm going to go Bloomin' Onion.
Oh,
nice. Almost undefeated when it comes, because it's a dipping sauce, you know? Mm-hmm.
Get that.
So
get
my
that.
Allergies don't matter because I get, because
yeah.
It's your last meal.
It's my last meal.
Yeah, I'm thinking Crab Rangoon.
Oh.
But you got to be particular because not everywhere, specific places. And like, I don't want the red sweet and sour sauce. I want the like doctored up soy sauce that comes with pot stickers.
Oh,
it's like an oyster sauce with something, okay. Bunch of like ginger and stuff in it.
Kind of peanutty.
A little bit. Yeah. I would use a different word because that sounds funny out of your mouth. But yes, I would go with, yeah. Crab Rangoon. Well done, Crab Rangoon, with that nice sauce.
A chicken egg roll from Crave.
All right.
No so, free shout outs.
So good.
Just beep it out. Beep.
Yeah, from beep.
Every time I've eaten at Crave, I go home hungry.
What?
Oh, you always gaslight.
Like, I think I've been there once.
I just had
once,
it on Monday.
Man.
It was so good.
I've been there know, one time.
Yeah. Creeped on me.
It's hungry because it's expensive.
Jim, I want to know what your appetizer is.
Yeah, Jim, what's up?
Stuffed mushrooms with crab meat.
That is delicious.
Yeah.
Yum.
The kind that get like battered and fried, or just the like the broiled ones that don't have like a crunchy outside?
Yeah, the broiled ones.
Because those are like two things that are called the same thing, but are very different. Yeah. All right. I think we all have correct opinions so far.
Correct. We haven't had a wrong answer yet.
Yeah.
A,
yeah.
Well,
nicely
that's
done.
That's not really what Brandon wanted.
He was wrong.
He wants something else.
He actually wants four McRibs. No, no bun.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Let's move on to the main course that you've already shared once, but we're going to...
We'll share again.
Yeah, do it again.
How do I speak to myself in third person?
Use your name.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. I know what you would like. Beef ravioli from... Trattoria Fresca with the white sauce.
Oh,
fascinating.
Like yeah. Is it Alfredo or is it like a garlic Parmesan sauce?
I believe it's an Alfredo, but it is the best Alfredo sauce I've ever had. It's not like thick. It's pretty like right in the middle.
Alfredo is a Parmesan sauce.
But there's like, it's not, so like there's a garlic and Parmesan sauce that's like heavier on the garlic. Use some places that's not called Alfredo, and it really is like it's just crazy salty and garlicky. And for those of you at home who don't live in Sioux City, who are watching us right now, Trattoria Fresca is like that basement Italian place where like you got to go down four steps to get into it.
So oh yeah,
it's legit.
It's freaking bomb. Hey Brett.
Okay.
You've spent so much time.
I've been wrestling with it for the whole time.
Two McRibs.
Turmoil. Turmoil deep inside.
So I would say probably, well, it's one of two things. I haven't decided which one I want it to be. It would have to be.
Last meal.
Okay. So some steak, like a New York, no, probably like a ribeye. I'd want a ribeye of some kind, you know, probably, you know, medium, maybe a medium rare if they do it right. That would be good from like the highest quality. Like if I just want to like go ham on something, it is combination pizza from a local pizzeria called Townhouse. I could eat that every day of my life for the rest of my life and never ever tire of it. I think it is
ever?
The greatest. Combination pizza from Townhouse is my favorite pizza on the planet.
Hmm. Like he's going for like getting past with the statute of limitations by eating so much pizza.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm going to survive this.
Yeah. I really think it's great. So I think from a volume perspective, it'd be that. From a quality perspective, I'd want like a really well done, like ribeye.
All right. So I'm having two plates. One is a prime rib, specifically from the Wood River Country Club, that is in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. I don't even know if the country club is still open anymore, because that town had like 1,500 people in it. But they had a golf course with a country club, and the prime rib there was amazing. And I think it's because, like, you're eating a cow that literally, like, you drove past last week. Like,
yeah.
And the best prime rib I ever had. And
you should find it. We should go.
Find
out if it's still open.
You know what?
Not that far away.
That far away.
No, it's not. It's like a 4-hour drive, maybe 5 hours or something.
I've driven farther from west.
Firehouse has pretty good prime rib. It's closer.
Who? Where's that at?
Firehouse, Anthem, Iowa.
Not the sub restaurant.
No, not Firehouse subs price.
No.
I've been there.
Do like Firehouse subs. A remote show and like go there and like do the show. I know that would be super easy, right, Bryce?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say this. If anyone of you are listening and you're in a drivable distance and you have a restaurant, we will make it happen.
Yeah. We'll find a way.
Ooh, interesting.
I would do it.
I would do it.
We'll eat dinner with lapel mics on if we
Yeah, we will. Them. We'll eat. We'll gouge it.
Bryce is like stressing out.
Hey, Bryce, we'll just all record it on our cell phone.
Why are you sweaty all of a sudden?
It's fine.
It's just stressing me out thinking about it. I will love to go eat your food for free. Food for free.
The other would be either a Trattoria Fresca or like Buca di Beppo, someplace that's like, basement Italian chicken parmesan. Where it's like, like I don't even need pasta with it, but I will have some pasta with it if they serve it that way. But like there are places where if you order that, you literally just get a plate with 4 pieces of chicken and sauce. And you're like, you didn't order noodles. We didn't bring you noodles. That's where you know it's like, this is real and it's going to be really good. And yeah.
I also have two, and it's very similar to Brett's. The first one is a bone-in ribeye from Ruth Chris, medium rare. It's the best steak I've ever had in my life. And the second one is pepperoni and green olive from Jerry's.
Jerry's. Let's go. Good choice.
It's so good.
I'll do a surf and turf prime rib. Medium rare on the rare side, and scampi.
Nice.
Good choice.
From anywhere?
Just about anywhere. As long as it's, close.
Red Lobster even?
Even Red Lobster.
Okay.
I don't know. Do they do prime rib?
Oh.
You probably couldn't get that.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Yeah, you're right.
It'd be microwaved.
Texas Roadhouse, maybe?
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
I don't never had their surf and turf because I've never trusted the surf part.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always had their steak. I love steak. Yep.
So I love steak as well.
Some sort of steak.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do all the sides. So this one might take a little longer, but yeah.
Okay. How many sides? So, I have to have three. Per meal?
I just want at least three, but if you want to do six because you had two plates, go for it, man.
I have pizza for one. That, you don't need a side.
Well, there you go.
Breadsticks. Just,
not from Jerry's. Pizza.
Pizza's probably the one thing I wouldn't choose.
Hmm.
I'm not a fan favorite.
Really?
It's not a whatever.
It's delicious, man.
Hmm.
What if we had a pizza party?
I like pizza. Jerry's and I like everything on it, but
yeah. What if we had a pizza party and there's pizza right in front of you? Are you down?
You know me.
Yeah, you're gonna eat anything. Right?
He's just saying.
I forgot. I remember their food.
Remember, with
Jim's gonna eat it.
The goal is that the food is gone.
Yeah, remember, that's the goal. Yeah.
I don't want leftovers. Okay, good.
So sides.
Side dishes. At least three. Feel free to go more than three.
I'll stick with three because I don't want to think that hard. I am always a stickler. I'll get fries from Greek to Me.
Oh,
those are really good fries.
I really do enjoy like some simple broccoli, like with salt, butter, pepper.
This is the first time I'm going to say you're wrong.
I'm assuming you have an allergy to it.
No, I like broccoli, but it's not going to be in my final meal.
I'll eat it. I just can't think of any sides. And then...
You like sweet potatoes.
I think it's like... It's like hot and sour soup from Dachau. Huh. when I had COVID, I pretty much drank the large tub of it and did not know it was in my mouth. So, but it did not
whole
burn.
Tub?
Yeah, it did not burn.
Wow.
But I love the taste of that soup. So if that's considered a side, I would.
Yeah, you can do that.
Sure.
I would do that.
Get over. It's your side. Do whatever you want.
You know what? Ice cream.
That's dessert, bro. We're not there yet.
I know.
I mean, that's up to him.
You know what? You're right. Mix it with your broccoli.
You know what? Lard.
in a bowl or in a cone?
Deep fried. That's a joke. I wouldn't do that.
Hopefully.
All right, sure. Brett.
Okay, so with the steak, I got to think about this. So with the steak, I'm going to go a good coleslaw.
Okay.
I love a good right. coleslaw. I love coleslaw.
Like Long John Silver's.
Sure.
I love Long John Silver's.
KFC's coleslaw.
I don't care. I have not met a coleslaw I didn't love. So I don't really care where it's from. Coleslaw.
You and my three-year-old daughter.
We're buddies. Me and your three-year-old body. We're tight. Me and your three-year-old. And then I would say probably with a steak, I'd probably want a mashed potato, I would think. Probably something like that.
What kind of mashed potatoes, though?
Oh, what are my options?
The world?
White, Yukon gold.
Okay. So
russet.
Like, I wouldn't say I'm that.
Garlic, Parmesan.
Yeah. So I guess if the steak, you know, obviously I'd probably, I would, you know, I'm a sucker for gravy. I do like gravy.
All right.
Turkey, chicken.
Well, I mean, you're going to go with beef. The beef gravy to go with the steak, obviously. Oh, okay. I mean, got to pair it right. I'm not an animal.
Sorry.
I'm not a heathen. So I got coleslaw and I've got, and then, you know, like a well done, I would take either, it'd be up to the chef, but if they could do either Brussels sprouts or asparagus, well, I mean, whichever one that the chef could do better, that's what I would want. And so I would say those would be the three sides with the steak. And then I wouldn't need, if I was doing pizza, I'd want more pizza. Like that's the whole point. Like I want, just give me the large. The
sides are on the top.
Yeah, correct. So that's how I would do that.
That's geometry, folks.
Yeah, it's just math.
When you said mashed potatoes, I could only think of the Schwann's mashed potatoes.
Dude, I grew up on those. Shout out my mom.
The chopped up bananas.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome.
And then, sorry, Dad, you'd make them too wet.
Oh, my mom was a G. She knew how to do that. I had mashed potatoes on demand, bro.
Wet.
I'm done.
All right. So for the prime rib, I'm also going to go with mashed potatoes. Probably with like garlic butter, a little bit of heavy whipping cream to make like the creamy mashed potatoes, brown gravy. I think I would want either grilled asparagus or those like when you do green beans with olive oil and salt and pepper and garlic and, you know, just like the really seasoned green beans. So one of those, something green. And then I need some kind of bread. I don't know if I'd want to go with like that really good cornbread that's got like the caramelized edge all the way around. Like a cornbread muffin, not like a slice of cornbread.
So like Famous Dave's.
Yeah.
But better.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can throw them in there. And or either that or like just a really, really good biscuit. And then for the chicken parmesan, I would want just like a really, I mean, if they could make Olive Garden breadsticks that lasted more than 30 seconds before they weren't quite fresh.
Why do they need to last more than 30 seconds?
Because the basket has more than two in it.
You can handle it.
It also is, they get stale real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, but they taste like that. And it's just to like get the rest of the sauce, basically.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm not having anything with my pizza. It's just more pizza. It's fine. It doesn't really go with the steak. But
it's okay.
I miss them so much because they don't make them anymore. But the well done fries from Chick-fil-A.
I would also want a fry. I would add a fork.
I miss well done fries from Chick-fil-A. So,
what do you mean they don't do them anymore?
So they used to like fry them, take them out, and then fry them again.
a second time, and they don't do it for time's sake. Hmm. They don't do it anymore. So it's really sad. It's one of the only things I really, really, really liked from Chick-fil-A. Anyway, and then I do like a garlic mashed potato, and if the asparagus is cooked and seasoned properly, I would do an asparagus.
Yep. Fresh asparagus.
Your turn.
My turn?
Your turn.
I'm going to do the fresh asparagus in garlic, olive oil, a loaded baked potato.
Oh, can't sleep on that.
Yeah. I'm not sure about number three. I really like food. So, I guess if green beans are done right, it actually takes about 45 minutes to do green beans right. So
what?
Yeah, there's two ways to do green beans. You can do the kind of the raw kind of side of it and the saute kind of thing, and that's pretty good too. With bacon and onions and black pepper. And if you want the flavor to be soaked up in those green beans, it takes about 45 minutes.
Oh.
That's legit. I'd eat that.
Chef Jim over here.
Yeah. I'd eat that.
I say that sounding sarcastic. He really is a chef.
Yeah. I do want to clarify that I don't think, like, anytime we've mentioned green beans, that they're not canned. They're fresh, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
of course. They're not canned.
Because I know
more frozen.
I know people that think the canned ones are the good ones.
My mother?
Well, yes.
Well,
I know.
Yes. I mean, others as well, but yes, she did come to mind.
I know.
I love just drinking that juice right out of the can.
I've never seen you fucking.
When you met the depression, you meant like the time frame where our country was losing so much money.
You know, that green bean juice is pretty darn good. And the corn juice. I like food.
Wait a minute. I like food.
But the thing is, you know how to use it well. I don't cook at all, so yeah.
All right, where are we going next?
All right, sure. I think it's time for dessert.
I got one.
You know what? Wait.
Can I add one?
Yes.
What is the most lowbrow thing that you would eat on your last meal? Mine, cream corn. I don't know why I like cream corn so much. I think it's incredibly lowbrow, but I think it is so good. I love cream corn.
So we're talking like things that everyone's gonna be like, oh
yeah, just lowbrow, okay. Like not bougie at all. Like a McRib. Cream corn. That's like my most...
The cream from the McRib.
There you go. Okay. Nailed it.
No. So dessert or lowbrow?
I was going lowbrow.
Let's do the lowbrow first.
All right. I would just buy a giant box of that crunchy stuff you get at Long John Silver's.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. Cracklins.
Is that what they're called?
My mom had some the other day, and I was like, just give me that box, all right?
Like, I was going to throw it out. No, the heck you are.
No. And then you know what?
Oh, man.
Tell me you're there a little bit later.
It's just fried bread.
Tempura batter.
Ooh.
It's a cracklins or tempura batter.
Yeah.
Oh,
tempura?
Oh, like,
yes. Tempura, like the fried stuff in the sushi.
Stuff that they dip the fish in.
Yeah. Okay.
The extra floaty stuff.
The floaties.
Yeah.
That makes it so much better. So,
you know, it's all soaked up that grease really good.
It's so good.
That's grease fried grease.
I think I'd do the entire Christmas tin of popcorn.
Oh my gosh. In one sitting.
Yeah. It's like, you guys have to sit and wait for me to finish this.
Oh, gross. I don't know.
Just think of go back in history, Bryce. Think of things that you have eaten.
Oh, I've eaten the most gross things ever. I love McDonald's, so
that's not lowbrow. That's like five star right now.
Compared to what we're saying.
Yeah. I don't like eating that stuff. I don't know. I'm super picky.
There you go. There's nothing that you eat that other people are like, this I wouldn't eat that.
I eat Long John Silver's.
Well, there you go.
And I get made fun of every time I eat it.
Oh, there you go. Long
johns.
What?
I eat long
johns. Who's making fun?
Yeah. Everyone I work with. Every person I work with is like, you eat what?
I just eat boxes of hush puppies.
They go, the only reason
that was one of the things on my list I was considering.
I love hush puppies.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're always like, yo, it's the only reason they're still in business because they're a drug front. And I was like,
exactly.
What? I mean, they make delicious.
That's just
fish the, chicken combo.
Just the A&W side is the drug front.
Oh,
right.
You gotta get it right.
True. Jim, what's your lowbrow?
Well, that's hard because I like food. probably a cheese pizza.
A cheese pizza, yeah, boring.
Or a hush puppy. There are good hush puppies and there are bad hush puppies. A fresh hush puppy is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The frozen things that they drop at some restaurants, not so cool.
Long John Silver's?
He was not going to name a name. He's not going to.
Because I love their hush puppies.
There are better, trust me.
I believe you. I love Long John Silver's hush puppies.
All right, I didn't mean to take over your
bed. No, you're good. I almost want to change mine because I don't know if peanut butter and jelly sandwich would drop down there or not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I get judged for eating them.
By who?
You know.
By who?
Peanut. A rice cake.
Oh, dude, your son eats rice cakes like four a day.
Well, you know, you can eat them all day long. You got like zero calories.
He just walks in my office. He's eating another rice cake. I'm like, what? How many rice cakes do you have?
All right, let's move on to, before we do desserts, let's do beverages. What do you want to drink, Brandon?
So if I had a drink to choose... two drinks to choose?
Two.
That's a tough one. Okay. If you go to Monterey, you get a horchata in the big mug. I get a horchata. And I would get an old fashioned.
Nice.
A little cherry on it.
All right, so I'm gonna do three.
Nice.
For the meal I would do a Coke Zero. I was going to say Diet Pepsi, but I know your wife doesn't listen to this, so I was going to say Diet Pepsi just to roast your wife. But I'd say Coke Zero, and I had another one, and then I forgot it because I can hear my dog on the other side of the door. so it would be a Coke Zero and probably an Arnold Palmer for the meal. Mm. And then I would have a nice, strong cup of black coffee to go with my dessert.
That feels good.
Which nice. Is coming next.
Nice, nice, nice.
I'm done.
I like that. All right. So I think with the meal, yeah, I'm going to want something refreshing. I'll probably go with a Pepsi with grenadine and light on the ice. I think I would want a whiskey sour. And with dessert, if it was something chocolatey, I'd want a glass of milk.
I want a good Pepsi.
Is there a bad Pepsi?
Yeah, Pepsi Zero.
Ooh,
Diet Pepsi?
Uh-huh. You shut your face.
Caramel Pepsi? It's terrible.
It was not good.
I didn't know it was a thing. and then I want water.
All right.
I like, yeah, when I...
Yeah, drink a glass of water. That's normal.
Sure.
Normal people do that all the time.
A glass of wine and a cup of coffee.
You got a specific wine or just whatever pairs well with whatever you're eating?
I tend to like the white. Not something that I get to have a lot in my current walk with Christ, but in my previous life, you know, it'd be nice to have a glass of wine.
All right. Dessert. Let's just do one.
We're going to do dessert?
Yeah.
You know what? A bag of Nerds Clusters. It's my dessert.
Dessert.
Good choice.
It's my dessert.
Nice. I'm going to go with a New York cheesecake. Don't put anything on top or I will fight you.
What?
Nice.
Just nice.
Cheesecake. I great am with plan. You 100%.
That's great. That's
right? Good. What is with that?
If it's done well, you don't need stuff on it.
It's really good.
Put that canned whatever away and just give me the cheesecake with that stout black coffee.
We're talking a quality cheesecake. Yeah, correct.
I'm not talking out of the box from Sam's Club.
Better than what Cheesecake Factory does.
Yes.
Fair.
Now,
I mean, I'm not very picky, but I get it.
Oh, I'm picky on that.
If the chef was working hard on, like, there's a really nice blueberry compote that he made from scratch with fresh blueberries and
I'm not gonna
real
be
sugar,
rude.
No.
I mean, and he was like, let's garnish the side of the plate with a little, I wouldn't tell him to take it back.
That's true.
Like, okay, yeah.
Let's keep it off the top. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's though. Different. I would want a large slice of the chocolate cake from Matilda.
Okay.
The movie?
All right.
Yeah.
That's super funny.
That's a good one. That's good.
That cake has always, like, ever since the first time I saw that movie, I was like, that is the most delicious chocolate cake in the world. I can never taste it, but just looking at it, my eyes are like, that is an amazing chocolate cake right there. So I want a big slice of that.
Big slice.
Not the whole cake like the kid had to do, but big slice.
Nice.
With a glass of milk.
I do want things in my cheesecake. I want an Oreo cheesecake. It is so good. I love a good Oreo cheesecake. Judge me all you want.
I'm just thinking about the waste.
I was going to go with sorbet, but that cheesecake, I'm going to have to go with that. A good cheesecake. Straight up. Nothing on it. Nothing in it.
Yeah.
Yep. Respective. So to just add a little more to it, if you were going to do a sorbet, do you have one particular flavor that's the best? Or
lime.
Did you go with, okay, all right. I kind of felt like that was what was coming.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
That's great. So let's get into our topic, yeah. Right? We're hopping back into sections on in the Sermon on the Mount. We have hit the salt and light portion. So, Andrew, did you open us up?
Yeah. A few years ago, there was a massive power outage that hit a large city. Street lights went out, stores went dark, entire neighborhoods were suddenly in complete darkness. People who were used to constant light suddenly couldn't see anything. Cars slowed down, people pulled out their phones for flashlights, and everything became disorienting. But in the middle of all that darkness, even the smallest light suddenly mattered. A single flashlight could guide people down the street. A candle in a window could help someone find their way home. When everything around you is dark, even a small light becomes incredibly noticeable.
And in many ways, that's the world Jesus is describing in the Sermon on the Mount. A world filled with spiritual darkness, confusion, and moral decay. And right in the middle of that world, Jesus turns to his followers and says something remarkable. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Today, we're going to be looking at Matthew 5, 13 through 16 and talk about what it really means for followers of Jesus to live as salt and light in the world.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet.
So Matthew verse 13 or 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. We're going to be focusing on that for a little bit now. So what did salt mean in the ancient world? Salt had two different primary purposes. That was preservation and flavor. So the preservation, you would see that salt would slow decay, and it kept food from spoiling. And with flavor, it would enhance the taste, and it would make things better. So what is Jesus saying here is that followers of Christ should slow the moral decay of the world and add goodness and righteousness to the culture around them. So Christians should influence the world through our character and through our integrity and our godly living.
Yeah, I mean, that statement, slow the moral decay of the world, which I totally agree with, yeah. But it's not like I'm going to stand in front of something and hold it back. You know, it's I think it's more about my own character and how I live out my life right here where I'm at, which is kind of what you listed below: character, integrity, godly living. How that fits in.
If you want to add more to it,
I was going to go into the next.
Yeah,
unless somebody else had something. Yeah. Right. But there's also a warning. Jesus says, if it salt loses its saltiness, it becomes useless. It gets thrown out and trampled. The idea here is ineffectiveness. If believers stop living differently from the world, they lose their influence. And I think in that, when I think of saltiness, it's like we want our food to be a little salty, unless it's, you know, maybe like our candy, maybe not, I don't know, some candy. But point being is the salt gives flavor and we want it. We salt stuff. It comes on our plate, right? Or it's on the table. And so how do we be attractive? That's the only way I know how to say it right now. Because really, mm-hmm. I want, how do we, in our language and everything else, not just being what you listed up here, character, integrity, and godly living, but literally when people are around us, they want to know what we're saying or why we're saying it, or you know what I'm saying? Like, how do we make what we say when we talk about the Bible that it, you know what? I want to taste that. I want to taste a little bit of whatever it is that you're talking about.
Yeah, I would agree. One thing that I think is interesting is that they really did have two functions for salt in that time, like you had said. And another thing that's mentioned is if salt loses its saltiness. Well, one thing that you learn about salt, just what we know from it, is that it's a very stable compound and it's very hard to corrupt it. And so the question is always, how do you corrupt salt? You can't really break down those molecules. But often if it's, and that's why it says trampled underfoot. So if it gets mixed in with something like sand or something else, it loses its ability to do what it's meant to do. And I think that's a really good picture of when we try so hard to engage the world that we lose our distinctiveness, we lose our saltiness. And so to Jim's point, we can't be something different if we're trying so hard to fit in with what's around us to the point where we're giving up what makes us salty or makes us preserving the good in the world. So I really like that analogy. And I think it's really, really interesting to think about how do we do this well? We don't want to be, you know, sectioned off from the world and not engage in it. That's not the point of salt and light. But how do we also keep ourselves pure, if you will, or keep ourselves doing the task that's set before us? And I think that's what's so hard about Jesus' command. That's what makes it a supernatural command, is that we can't do it on our own.
I think in my mind, on the other side of it is sometimes we get, when I believe in memorizing scripture and that kind of stuff and knowing our Bible, be able to talk about it clearly and effectively. But at the same time, if all I'm doing is parroting the words of the Bible, I'm not very tasteful. Not to say that the Bible isn't, but I can talk about it in ways that sound like, I want to check that out. Is that really what it says? And sometimes, I don't know another way to say this. Be too churchy that we're really not that flavorful. Why would I want what you have?
We can be bland.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's especially if, I mean, that's like one of the telltale signs of legalism is my faith is built on don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. All you're doing is taking away flavor.
Yeah. Of an exciting relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just stiff and rigid. And just,
it's not, I don't know how anyone that is legalistic enjoys the Lord. It just feels like I have to follow a bunch of rules, and that's just not, it's not a dictatorship. It's a relationship. And
I mean, he is king, but like,
yeah. That's monarchy.
I know, but like building off your point, like, I mean, if you meet someone who's successfully made it through, you know, a lot of life that way, I mean, eventually the knee jerk reaction is if I'm enjoying this, it's probably wrong.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, at first we just kind of laugh at it. It's like, oh, it's just a cranky old person. But really, that's just tragic and really sad.
Mm-hmm. My grandma was incredibly legalistic. She was one of the most amazing women I ever knew. Mm-hmm. But she was very legalistic. And what you're saying rings true, because she, anytime, like, she, I mean, I was 16 when she died. So it's like, I didn't really know the deeper sides of that. But, like, I could still tell, like, the more she had fun, the more it was just like, oh, she would recoil. Yeah, she would, like, recoil back a bit. So, yeah.
I think a big part, too, is that we don't want to fall in either ditch of super legalism over this way where you can't do a thing. And then you have this side, which is just another form of legalism where you can do anything you want. You have to be inclusive. You have to accept everything. And if you don't, you're this, this, and this. And it's like they mirror each other. And I don't think being in either ditch is appealing to anyone that has questions about Jesus and faith at all.
I actually do think that that ditch is really appealing to people that have questions because they can still do whatever they want.
Oh, I
nothing's changed. I get that.
Yeah. Nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. That's not salty.
And that's also not the Lord.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, speaking of churchy language, like, how do you guys define legalism? I mean, if I'm sitting listening to this podcast and I hear that and I say, how do I know if what I am is legalistic?
That you're basing your salvation off of following rules and behavior and making it more than just... So, I mean, be obedient. If Jesus says do something or if he says don't do something, follow that because you're responding with obedience. But to reflect on yourself and say, I have been good and so I am saved, then that's legalism. That is, I would argue, not a just bad Christianity, but that it's not.
Maybe like extra biblical rules and you elevate them up to a primary problem and you put that over everyone. And most of the time, it's secondary issues.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened in the Old Testament too. Started adding all these rules.
Yeah.
You take the Ten Commandments. My personal perspective is that those are, that tells me about the character of God. He's committed. He doesn't lie. He's faithful, I guess is another word for committed, but so I want this relationship with God, and so I don't want to offend him. And so when I learn who he is, my motive isn't to obey laws anymore. I really don't care about the laws. What I care about is my Heavenly Father, whom I love, and I don't want to offend him. So it's about, it changes your perspective on how you walk into that. I'm not trying to obey laws. I'm trying to love on my Father, my Heavenly Father.
Colossians 2:16 says, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think the only thing I would add is, it's not about rules. It's not about do this, don't do that. Those things come as a byproduct of the relationship. We are obedient to the God we love, but we are not under the law. We're under the law of Christ, which is freedom and love God, love your neighbor. And so Christianity is actually very freeing. True Christianity is freeing. It's not imposing. It's freeing you. So I think of Galatians 5, for freedom, Christ has set you free. And it's not freedom to pursue sin, but freedom to pursue God. So our life isn't built on rules. It's built on, we are now unencumbered. We're no longer shackled by only being able to sin. We now have the Spirit within us and we can run freely, as Hebrews 12 says, putting off every weight and sin that we might run towards Christ. And so anything that weighs you back down is what we need to shed. So if that's legalistic rules or if that's going after all these other sins and pursuing things that we should, both those things weigh us down in different ways. And the goal is we don't want to be a 747. We want to be a G6, right? We want to be lightweight and we want to be able to move. And that's what I think, whether either side of those ditches, it's weighing you down with sin and perception, and it's not what we're called to be. So I think that would be one way to think of it.
Yeah, that's great.
Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. I think that just piggybacks off of what you said. We don't want to come to somebody, hey, you're a Christian now, follow these extra rules. Be weighed down, and you're never going to meet up to them because they always change. They always shift with the season. So, right?
That's almost where we start sometimes, isn't it? Oh, now that you've prayed this, you need to stop doing this and you need to start doing that, right? And I agree those things are good things, right? But it's almost as if we help people step into that. And I don't know a better way right now.
Oh, yeah. We had a conversation the other night with one of our students, right? And she was saying, she's like, man, when I was set free, I thought it was going to be easier. I'm like, what do you mean by easier? And she's like, well, I thought I'd feel good. I thought it'd be light. I'm like, she's like, but I feel heavier because I notice all of the sin inside of me. And I notice all the things that keep coming back to my mind. I'm like, well, it's because you have the Holy Spirit. And now you're noticing, like, I'm convicted by this. I see what I was doing, and I'm not desensitized to it anymore. Like, and that's a good thing. That means you're moving forward. Yeah, you're going to have to reckon with the things you did in the past. Just like we all do. Just like I do in the present. Like, I do things wrong, and I'm convicted by it through the Holy Spirit. I repent, and I move forward. But that doesn't mean you lose your salvation either. It doesn't mean that God just throws you out. Like, well, you messed up that one time, Jim. See ya. That doesn't happen. Like, he's like, no, just give it to me. Let's keep walking. Giving it to me. Let's keep walking. I think the devil uses shame. And it's like, you need to know it all. You need to see everything, and it needs to weigh you down so that you can change. But then you don't change. You're just weighed down, and you're constantly like questioning, is God actually like, am I set free? Like, no, you're like, at that point, you're enslaved to shame of your sin. And like, God doesn't give us shame. He gives us freedom. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we remember, yeah, I messed up. God, forgive me. Can you help me walk forward? I need grace for today.
And there's freedom in that. No condemnation.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, yes, I messed up, but my God isn't going to throw me away because he loves me.
Mm-hmm. I think the book of 1 John is a book that's written to help you. How do you know if you have faith that is saving? And one of the first things in chapter 1 is, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So just being able to say that we've and see our own sin is actually a mark of being a believer. Because to your student's point, that was already there. You just weren't seeing it before. It didn't manifest after you became a believer. It was there. You just didn't see it.
Yeah.
And so, and what I think is so interesting about our faith is that the more we grow in Christ, the more of our sin we see. Not that we don't grow in sin. We just see more of it. And we realize, wow, the way I was thinking about that, or the way I was doing that, that's just not right. I never saw it before. It wasn't mean that it wasn't there. It's that I was blind and now I see.
Mm-hmm. And you were carrying it too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It, like the words you chose, like, I feel like it's heavier now. Well, that's because you just recognize it, but you were carrying it before too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just didn't know it. It's in there. And that should be encouraging people. Here's the way I tell people. The Bible says that you are dead in your sin and trespasses before the Lord saves you. Dead people don't care about their spiritual state. If you are concerned about your sin, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
That's an important sign. That means that there's life in there, that you care. Dead people don't care.
Yeah. Alistair Begg was talking about someone in his office saying, I'm not sure if I'm saved because I'm doing all this stuff. He's like, but the fact that you're here talking about it means that you're probably good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's a good thing only bad people go to heaven.
That's right.
All right, let's move on to light. Bryce, would you read up to what Jesus is teaching?
Brett, can you read the verse and then I'll read it?
I'll give you 14. Do you want 14 and 15?
14. Just 14.
Well, that's all 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
It was the whole thing.
It was the whole thing.
Okay. I got you.
All right, thanks. What does light represent? Throughout the Bible, light represents truth, righteousness, and God's presence. Examples include John 8 through 12.
John 8, 12 says that Jesus spoke to them again, and I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
I got Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance.
And then Philippians 2, 14 through 15 says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation among you, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Andrew, can you read the next little chunk?
All right, so what Jesus is teaching here is that believers are meant to reflect God's truth, reflect God's character, and shine in contrast to darkness. The world around us is marked by sin, confusion, spiritual darkness. But disciples of Jesus are supposed to stand out, just like a city on a hill. Visible, impossible to miss.
You know what's crazy about that? Is that in some of the darkest places in the world, Christ flourishes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, because there's light, you know?
Yeah.
And when we think we got light, we seem to look past Jesus.
Oh, there's I think in a Western mentality that we have, we're fine. We have so many different coping mechanisms that we don't run back to like the answer.
Yeah.
It's like, I can feel better with this new app. I can feel better with this like drug. I can feel better with this fill in the blank, anything.
Breathing technique. Something.
Yeah. I can feel better with the new kind of worship service that they're doing now because they have more show and less talking.
Yeah. Well, it's like we're content in our discontent in some ways.
You know, I think a lot about, have I said this on the podcast before? Because I'm not that original. But whenever I talk about light, I just am fascinated by the fact that light can never be overcome by darkness. Ever. Like there's no amount of darkness in the world that can ever. So if you take a match into a couple hundred feet deep into the ground where there's no natural light and you light that match, that darkness will never be able to overcome it. It will shine until the match burns to your fingertips, because darkness can never overcome light. And so when Jesus uses this example, it is a powerful example just seen in nature, how darkness is all around us. Christ is light. Light is in us. And the darkness that if the light is truly in us, the darkness can never overtake us. So it's incredibly comforting and it's incredibly empowering, because no matter what comes our way, we can be sustained because the light that is in us is greater than the light, than the darkness that is in the world. So I think it's fascinating that Jesus uses this example, because in a culture before electricity, you know, we take light for granted almost, because I can flip on a light, I can hit a light switch and I've got light in my house. But you know, when the power goes out, it's amazing how quickly you realize I'm really dependent on electricity. And in this world where if you don't have oil for a lamp, you could be in pitch black. I mean, I don't even know what it would be like if you got stuck on the road in between Jericho and Jerusalem in the middle of the night on a night with no moon and no lamp. I mean, it would have to be terrifying. Yeah. Terrifying. I mean, this is just a whole nother world that we just don't even understand. And I think that's, again, that there's probably something to be said about how much light is just readily available to us. Has to also say something about the value of light, but I don't know what that is.
On Revelation, it talks about like God being the light that shines and he lights up everything. Like he's the center of that, and no darkness will come.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Revelation, doesn't it say that there is no need for the sun anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because he is light.
I will correct you.
Okay.
You're not wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I would also say here in Matthew 5, you know, the context is really more of not so much where the origin of the light is, but it's about us shining into a dark, dark world. I mean, so I think thinking about what that means. You know, how does it tie to salt? So we're different than the world in the language we use and in our attraction, you know, but then also there's this level of we shine because we're different and we're noticeably different from the world around us because the darkness is what we're shining into. At least that's my perception of the word picture is what we are saying and doing and proclaiming is shining into a place where it doesn't make sense. It brings light to where there is darkness. It's different. It's opposite. It's not like we're a light shining among other lights or we're a pure light and they're not light. I mean, it is light, dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And so my question then is, how do we do that? What does that look like?
Well, verse 15 and 16 say that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. And so in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so Jesus uses another simple image. People don't light a lamp and then hide it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so that it lights up the whole house or the whole neighborhood or the whole area. So the meaning of this is that faith was never meant to be hidden. Following Jesus should be visible in everyday life. Not in a performative way, but through our actions, our character, and our obedience to Christ. So your life should naturally shine with the truth of Christ.
This is going along with what Brett was saying, because I think we need to wrestle with this. How do it implies that I could actively hide my light. And I think we need to wrestle with how do we not do that? Because
mm-hmm.
I there's a part of me that believes that we just naturally don't let it shine. And it's got to be more than just living our life well. That in itself, you know, I've actually heard it said, I want to live my life in such a way that the people around me want to know why I live differently. Well, Jesus used words.
Yeah.
So you can't, when I hear that, I'm like, you think you're greater than Jesus?
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Right? So how do we use the words? How do we look for those opportunities to really let that light shine?
I think we have to be fully active and looking. I think there's a lot of times we just keep our eyes to the ground. I have something to do. I need to get it done. I'm expected to do this. And we're not necessarily being open and watching for those opportunities to come about. And I think we do being a light in the world, like just saying an encouraging word to somebody. Like if you're checking out at the register and we notice when people are upset or they're struggling, like, hey, you struggling today? Like, oh, I'm praying for you. Like, I think you're doing a great job. But our motives are different. We're planting a seed. And so that means you show back up to that same spot, hopefully to see that same person again. So I think we have to be more intentional in every facet of our life to be a good representation of what we have been freely given.
I'm terrible about doing that, putting my head down, getting the job done, right? Moving on. I mean, that's, I live that way. But you're absolutely right. If we could see this more as a journey that we're walking through life and not trying to come to the end of something or finish something, but in fact, the people that I run across in my day, like you just said, and I for one would like, probably I'd ask for prayer that I would be more like that.
Well, like those people are important.
Yes.
They're not to be discarded. We don't know what God has planned for them. And so we need to have that mindset. And the people that are aggravating that we see in stores, I mean, they're still important. Like there's still people that need to hear the truth.
So to go with what Jim said a minute ago, 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your own hearts, honor Christ. The Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. So I think to that point, the works might open the door. The hope that is in us will open the door, but we need to be ready to make a defense, to make a statement about who we are. And so I think it can't be one or the other. I mean, you can't just bomb into a situation and, you know, say two words to somebody. That's pandering. Like no one, I don't need to hear that. Like, I don't need some stranger telling me something that I don't need to hear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is the one I'm most guilty of, is I drop the ball on the 1 yard line. I do something. I live in a way that hopefully, you know, why did that, you know, the question comes up that good work, something was good. And instead of saying to God be the glory, or because I'm a Christian, or because I follow Christ, my answer is, I don't know. It just worked out though. I'm happy to help. I mean, I'm right there. Like, I was just asked why did you take your Saturday morning to help with this? Or why did you do it that way? Or why do you work that way? And then you're just like, this is where I should have come in there and given that hope, that defense for the hope that is in me. And instead I brushed it off because I didn't want to have an awkward conversation.
This is a good time for some self-deprecating sarcasm.
Then that's what I use, self-deprecating sarcasm.
You know, the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Well, here's the reality. Every day that we're out there in the world, there is a person that we'll come across that has been beaten up and needs somebody. And we walk by them every day. And I believe that with all my heart. A quick story. Julie and I were eating out. And this is one of the, I wish I could say this happens all the time. It's not. This is one of the few. Okay. And I asked the waitress, how could we pray for you? Right? The server, I guess. And she says, wait a minute. And she leaves. She takes care of whatever she has to take care of, puts her tray down, and starts to tell us this story. And she's very young, early 20s. Husband has left her. She has kids. And now he's trying to take her kids away from her. Right? This girl is beat up. But I would have never known that. Julie and I made an investment in her, and she doesn't even know it. But that's okay. But that was one of the few times I wish I was better. I wish I could say, you know, every time I go out to eat, I try to do that. That's not true. Or I'm at the cash register. It's not true. I'm usually focused.
And it took a little bit of your life. That's it. Just a short time. Have a small conversation. Yeah. We all need to be better.
We don't need to come in and be preachers.
No.
Well, yeah, I mean, the text itself says they see our good works and then they look straight to the Father in heaven. I mean, it's like they're bypassing us when they see the work. So how can we do that? How can we live in such a way and work in such a way and act in such a way where we just, instead of being a glory cul-de-sac, where it's this glory channel straight up to God.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Keep it. Yeah. I mean, glory thief, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. But, I liked it.
I like that.
But that's, I think that's, so that
glory, you bend.
Yeah. Glory. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. I think it's important. I think it's important to, and again, I think what I think is so powerful about Jesus's words, that it doesn't say, and this is how you do it.
Yeah.
It's left open-ended. We have to live in a way, you know. For some people, it's not going to be starting a conversation with a server. That's not like, okay, all Christians do this. Well, no, they don't. I mean, that's not how all Christians are. I know Christians that their love is you call them and they got a car problem. They're going to come. They're going to fix your car on the spot. I mean, that's the kind of, I mean, I would say this is where the Lord makes everybody different. And he gives us all different skills and gifts. And I think that's why we want to use them to his glory. And then that's how we find ourselves in situations where the Lord is using our abilities that he has given us to begin with. And then instead of saying, well, you know, yeah, I just like cars. I'm really good at this. No, the Lord has put on my heart to care for people in this way. And I want you to know him. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So, I mean, if you're like me and Jim and probably everybody at this table is like, I could always be a better evangelist. True. This isn't evangelism in that sense. It's not knocking on doors. It's not pinning people down to make a decision. This is saying I'm living my life and working in a way that people are saying there's something greater here and someone needs glory and it's not the person sitting in front of me. It doesn't make sense to me. Who is that person? Well, it's my Father in heaven. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah. I think that whole consumeristic evangelism thing that we grew up in, right? We see all the videos.
All the Ray Comfort stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a bash on Ray Comfort.
It's not a bash. Yeah.
It's just.
There's one Ray Comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray Comfort does Ray Comfort things.
Yeah.
He does it and he does it well.
Yeah.
I can't do Ray Comfort.
I just think that has come to an end. And I don't, because of the overconsumption of media and the scandal that has come with some of that kind of stuff, I think a lot of younger generations are just like, that's not appealing to me. It's not real. And I think they need to see us. They need to see us invest in them. They need to see us like being active, not out on the streets, but just in our life. Be like, hey, I'm going to be working this job. Right. I'm going to be working. I'm not going to have the like luxury job or luxury thing anymore. Like, I just don't think that's going to be a thing. And so they're like, how do I live at this 9 to 5? And how do I get through that? And they need to see it with us. And I think that's a good thing. I think kind of quieting the noise of like what our culture says was normal. We should like, and say, no, this is like, look at this. Look at the word. Look at what Jesus was saying. Look how Jesus lived. This is what we want to do too. Like, we want to mirror our Father. And so I think, yeah, has to be life. Has to be your life.
Yeah. Jesus went for a walk.
Yeah.
Connected with people along the way. Yeah. Evangelism, I think you're right about that. I think, though, missionary, right where we're at, missionary at our job, missionary where we're at. Rubbing shoulders with people, having some of the same struggles that they're having, being honest with those struggles, right? But always giving credit back to our Heavenly Father, who we know loves us and we know loves them.
Yeah. Do good things. Do them in the name of God. And look for avenues to talk to people about these things. Be salt, be light. You could be the first quote-unquote light that someone sees, right? And so I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm just saying stick to the word, like do your best. Know that you're going to stumble and you're going to need so much grace, and that he will give you grace and he'll give you mercy to keep going on. So that's all I've got. I think that's all we've got. Andrew.
Father, Son, and Spirit, give us a heart to care for those in the margins, to show grace to those who are difficult, to love all we come in contact with. Amen.
It's been Outsiders Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.